For our scripture reading this morning, we turn in God's Word to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. The Word of God in Psalm 90. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Text for our sermon this morning is verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, how often do you think about the brevity of life? How often is it impressed upon you how short and fleeting our life here on this earth is? Then what kind of influence does that have upon the way in which you and I use the time that God has given to us? What kinds of things are priorities in our life then? Time is a precious gift of God to us. And He's given to each one of us a set amount of time from eternity. He has determined the precise moment of our birth, and God knows the exact moment when He'll take us from this life in death. And He has every moment in between numbered. And that number is set. There's no adding to it. There's no replenishing that time as we use it. We can't get that time back. And that means then that the way in which we use that set amount of time shows what is a priority in our lives. I might say that something is important to me, but if I don't devote any of my time to that, the reality is that it's really not that important to me. The things that I'm going to devote my time and attention to in this brief time that I have here on this earth, those things are important. Those things are the priority in my life. The Word of God to us this morning reminds us of the brevity of life and the importance then of applying our hearts unto wisdom, things that have real spiritual lasting value. It's important that we learn to pray the petition of Psalm 90 here. God would teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. The prayer was made by God's servant Moses thousands of years ago. As far as we can tell, this is the only psalm that Moses wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we don't know exactly when he wrote that, but it'd be a safe guess to say that Moses was inspired to write these words during the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. After the people of Israel had rejected the good report of Joshua and Caleb and had accepted the evil report of the other 10 spies, God's chastisement was that they would spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and that during that time an entire generation would die off. During those 40 years, Moses watched as one after another of that whole generation died, and their bodies were buried in the sands of the desert. God powerfully impressed upon Moses during that time the brevity of life. And in response to that, Moses prays on behalf of the church, God, teach us to number our days. We may apply our hearts to wisdom. Call your attention to this text this morning under the theme, numbering our days. Notice first of all, numbered days. Secondly, wisdom's ways. And then thirdly, believer praise. God teaches us here to pray He would instruct us to number our days. What does that mean, to number our days? It does not mean that God would teach us to count how old we are, how many days we've lived here on this earth. We don't need God to teach us how to do that. That's something we know how to do. That's something even the small children know how to do. You ask a little child who's 2 or 3 years old how old they are, and very likely they'll be able to at least show on their fingers that they're 2 or that they're 3 years old. Children always have a sense of when their birthday is and how soon it is till their birthday's coming, and they know exactly how old they are, so that if you'd ask them how old they are, a little child, for example, wouldn't say they're 5, but they're 5 and a half. They know exactly how old they are. We're not praying here for something so simple as to know how many days we've lived here on this earth. And neither is this a prayer that God would reveal to us how many days we have left to live. It's something that's known only to God, and He doesn't reveal that to us. God knows how many years and months and days and seconds each one of us has yet to live. What we're praying for when we pray that God would teach us to number our days is that God would give us the grace to live in the consciousness of life's brevity. He would give us the grace to live consciously knowing that our days are numbered. We don't know how much that number is, whether it's great or it's small, but to know that our days are numbered by God. And that comes out throughout Psalm 90 here. One of the ways that that idea comes out in the psalm is by contrasting us in the brevity of our life with God and the fact that God is eternal. We read of that in verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And verse 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. God is eternal. God is above and outside of time. God has created time. And God holds all of time in His hand. Every moment of human history is guided and directed by God. But in such a way that He stands above and outside of time. He's not subject to time like we are. He's not subject to the constant change and the ravages of time. God does not, like we do, look back on the past and see mistakes and missed opportunities. And God doesn't stand and look into the future like we do with fear and anxiety and worry and doubt. God's never late. He's never rushed. He's never behind schedule. God is eternal. Without beginning of days or end of life, the same yesterday and today and forever. In contrast to the greatness and the glory of the eternal God, is our human frailty and the fact that our time here on this earth is so short and limited. And that too comes out throughout the psalm. Into verse 5 and into verse 6. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. Verses 9 and 10. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years... yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Our life is so short. We're born, and we live maybe for 70 or 80 years. And today, perhaps with modern medicine, we're able to live beyond that, maybe to 90, close to 100 years. And yet, even if we reach 100 years, our life is still short. What is 100 years in comparison to eternity? It's nothing. Our life is like a breath, a sigh that's quickly over. We're like the flower of the field or the grass that grows up in the morning and by the afternoon it withers under the heat of the sun and is cut down and it's gone. We're praying to God here that He might so impress that upon us, that He might impress upon our consciousness the fleeting nature of life here on this earth. Praying that God would cause us to live in the consciousness of our life being so short. That every moment that passes adds another moment to the heap that is the past. And it steals away another moment from what belongs to the future, so that the number of moments in the future is constantly shrinking and getting less and less. Means that we're praying to God for the grace to live in the awareness of our own death. Now, that doesn't mean a kind of morbid fixation on death. It doesn't mean either that we live in fear and anxiety about our death and when it's going to happen and how it's going to happen. But it means we live in the reality that this life is going to end, and it's going to end in death. And that can be at any moment for every one of us. Even though ordinarily a person may live to be 70 or 80 years, God doesn't promise that to every one of us. God can come for us at any time. God may come for you or me today, tonight, tomorrow. God may come and take us in death sometime this week, sometime this year. It may well be the will of God that the year of our Lord 2018 is the very last year that we live here on this earth. Tomorrow is not promised and guaranteed to us, and that's not something that just the elderly members of the congregation have to think about, those who have already reached their 70 or their 80. But that's true also for the children, for the young people. When we're young, we think life will just go on and on forever. We don't think about death and we don't think about the end of life. But as we get older, we realize no one escapes death. Eventually, the medicine gives out, the body gives in, and the heart gives up. We're praying that God would make us to live in the knowledge of that brevity of life. And also, as children of God, have the comfort of the life that awaits us in glory. For an unbeliever, what awaits him at the moment of his death is everlasting death in hell. But our hope and comfort is that after this fleeting life is over, whether that's after 70 or 80 or even 100 years, we have the hope of life unending. Life that will go on and on without any end in the glories of heaven and the pleasure of communion with our Heavenly Father. God, teach us to number our days. God uses different circumstances, different occasions in our life to impress that upon us. It might be a sickness, diagnosis of cancer, for example, or the diagnosis of Alzheimer's or some other debilitating disease. When we hear those words and when we receive that diagnosis, we remember tomorrow is not guaranteed to us. Our days are numbered and limited by God. Something like that God uses to wake us up, to remind us of the nature of life here on this earth. Maybe it's the death of a loved one, family member, a close friend. Maybe it's the death of a spouse, parent or a grandparent, a sibling, maybe even a child, perhaps even a child still in the womb. We go to the funeral home and we look down at the casket and the lifeless body that's there. We go to the cemetery and see row after endless row of tombstones, and it's powerfully impressed upon us. There's going to be a time when God comes for all of us, when He comes for me. But God can also use seemingly small and relatively insignificant things in our lives to remind us of that. Something as normal as a birthday. That birthday reminds us of the passing of time, that perhaps we've turned 30 years old and now we realize a third of our life is gone. turn 40 and we realize half of our life is over. We turn 60 or 70 or 80 years old and we realize we've reached the end of man, the 70 or the 80. God may use something like children to remind us of that. Maybe we stop and look at pictures that we took a year ago. We realize, look how much has changed just in this one year. Look how much they've grown and matured. And the days, each one seems so long and tiring, but the years, they fly by. Soon that little child that we held in our arms is growing up into a teenager. They're going off to college. They're moving out of the house. They're dating and they're marrying. And now they're having their own children. And I'm a grandparent, a great grandparent. How often don't we say, where has the time gone? It just flew by. Something like the passing of one year and the beginning of another year, God may use to remind us of that. Look back on the year 2017 and how quickly it's gone and everything that happened in that year. And look ahead now into the year 2018 with all that may appear and come to us this year. God uses those things to remind us our days are numbered, they're limited, this life is brief. And that's a good thing for us. That's the prayer that we make here. God, teach us. God, teach me to number my days. Beloved, do you know that? Do you live in the consciousness of that? Are you reminded now of the brevity of life? But what does that mean for us? Why do we pray this? What's the use of being reminded of how short our life is? It's not just an exercise in itself. It doesn't profit us just to be reminded life is short. God's going to come for us in death. There has to be a purpose. There has to be a goal in all of this. The reason why we pray that is explained in the second half of the text. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The reason, the goal that we have in numbering our days is that our hearts might be applied to wisdom. What's wisdom? To understand wisdom, we have to begin with the one who is perfectly wise. 1 Timothy 1, verse 17, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. God is wisdom. And what that means is that God has a perfect knowledge of all things, and He directs all things in a perfect way, in the best possible way, to accomplish the highest goal, and that's His glory. God uses the best means to accomplish the highest goal and purpose, which is His own glory. And that wisdom is revealed in Jesus Christ, whom the Bible refers to as the wisdom of God. God's wisdom is revealed to us in Jesus Christ because all things were created with Jesus Christ in view. He's at the heart and center of human history. All things lead to the cross and flow out of the cross and now lead to the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus Christ. God is pleased to glorify Himself through the salvation of His church. And as those who belong to Jesus Christ, He bestows upon us the grace of wisdom. And wisdom for us means really the same thing, that understanding the Word of God, understanding who God is and all of the creation and history and the light of God's word, we direct all things to the glory of God. So that all of our life, with all of our being, heart and mind and soul and strength, is pressed into the service of the glory of our God. To put it very simply, wisdom is putting into practice our knowledge and understanding. It's godly living. Living our life in such a way God's name is glorified. The purpose and the goal here is that we might have our hearts applied to wisdom. The reason why that's important, to be wise in our heart, is because our heart is, in a sense, the naked you. Outwardly, we can often act in a certain way because we know other people are looking and we want their approval, or there's certain expectations that are upon us. But that might be different than who we are when no one else is around, and in our own thoughts and in our own heart. The heart is our spiritual control center. It's the fountain from which flows all of the rest of our life. All of our actions and words and thoughts have their source in our heart. We need our hearts to be wise then, because if our hearts are wise, then the whole rest of our life will be characterized by wisdom as well. If the source, if the fountain, if the control center is characterized by wisdom, then everything that flows out of that, words and actions and thoughts, characterized by wisdom and directed to the glory of God. But now, what does that have to do with numbering our days? What's the connection between numbering days and wisdom's ways? A couple of illustrations maybe would help us understand that connection. First of all, children, think about an assignment or a project that your teachers assign you in school. And maybe with the beginning of a new year of school, they've given you something like that, a book report or a project that's due toward the end of the school year. Maybe right now you're not thinking about it so much. You haven't read the book, haven't written the report, you haven't started on the project. You've got time yet. What happens when the assignment due date gets closer and closer and closer? You start thinking about it more and more. You've got to get the book out of the library, read it, write the report. You've got to start on the project. There's a due date that's coming and you have to be ready to hand this assignment in. Or to apply it and illustrate it with a man that goes off to work and he's got some report that has to be filed with the boss, or some quota that has to be met by a certain day. As that due date gets closer and closer, it's on our mind more and more. It's something that we work at more and more. The approaching of that due date provides an extra level of focus and drive to do the work that's been assigned to us. We'll now take those earthly illustrations and apply that spiritually. Numbering our days, knowing that the day of our death approaches, and that this life is short and fleeting, ought to be an encouragement and a motivation to us to have our hearts applied to wisdom. Knowing that we'll stand before God, knowing that Christ is coming for us, we're ready for that. And the readiness is manifest in the way in which we live our lives. It means we strive to show thankfulness and gratitude to God for our salvation. And we show that gratitude in a life lived in obedience to God and to His Word. We live a life of daily repentance, confessing our sins before God, fleeing to the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ for forgiveness. It means that we live in the hope of life everlasting with our God in glory. And it means that we devote ourselves to the things that are meaningful, the things of the kingdom of heaven. The fact that our life is so short and our days are numbered ought to provide a kind of clarity to us. What are the priorities in my life? What ought to be the priorities in my life? Priorities ought to be the things that have lasting value, even though our life will come to an end here on this earth. Certain things in which we are engaged that have a meaning and a value beyond that. Things that have everlasting value. That idea is implied by what we read in verse 17. When it says, "Establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it." There are certain works, certain things that we want God to establish and to establish with an everlasting meaning. Things like spending forth the good news of the gospel to the end of the earth, to the gathering in of God's elect church. Something that takes place in time and history that has a kind of meaning that's established in eternity. Something like instructing our children, devoting ourselves to them so that they learn to walk in wisdom's ways. Investing in the congregation to which we belong and the lives of the other members of the Church of Jesus Christ. These are the priorities and ought to be the priorities in our life. And knowing that life is so brief, we're encouraged and motivated to put our energy into those things. To focus upon those things, to devote our time to those things. Now we understand that every second of every day can't be devoted to them. We have ordinary callings in this life, jobs that have to be done, school, that work that has to be done. We want to use the available time that we have for these things that are the priority in our lives. God, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. It's helpful if you and I examine our own lives in that regard. Our own use of time. Now that's not something maybe we want to do, that's something that's painful. We might not like to see what that reality is. But we stop for a moment and we consider, how are we using the time God has given to us? Am I living in the consciousness of life's brevity and the coming of Jesus Christ? What kinds of things do I devote my time and attention to? Are they things that, well, are sinful? Or are they things that aren't sinful and wrong in themselves, but have no lasting value and no deep meaning and significance? Maybe all of my extra time is spent looking at the TV or on the computer, staring at my smartphone, things that aren't wrong in themselves, but things that don't have lasting value and significance? Or is my time and my energy and my attention focused on those things that do have lasting value? Proclamation of the gospel, Church of Jesus Christ and the lives of the other brothers and sisters in Christ, my own children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, my own life of gratitude and holiness before God. If you knew, beloved, God was going to come for you tomorrow, what would that mean for you today? What kinds of petty annoyances would you let go of and understand are really meaningless? What kinds of projects would you realize don't have lasting significance and value? And what kinds of things would be important to you? What kinds of things have significance and meaning? Those are the things that ought to be the priority in our lives. Those are the things that we ought to focus our time and attention on. The things that are characterized by wisdom. The things that glorify God. And so we pray, God, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. And you notice throughout, the point has been made that this is a prayer of the believer. This isn't in the form of a command. God doesn't command us here, although maybe that's implied. Number your days, apply your heart to wisdom. But this is a prayer. God, teach us to number our days. And the reason why we need to pray that is because in ourselves we don't, and we're not able to do that. That's true of the unbelieving world. The world, they have maybe a brilliant mind. They're able to do deep, difficult calculus problems, and they're able to number and to count all of those things. Maybe they're able to count the distance that is between the earth and some of the other heavenly bodies in the universe. Maybe they're able to count the deepest depths of the deepest ocean and explore all of the different reaches of the earth. They're not able to make this most basic calculation: to number their days. And even if they do, their hearts are not then applied to wisdom. Maybe they realize the brevity of life, and for many, that's a frightening thing. And there's constantly the attempt to push back death and to thwart death and find some cure for death. But knowing that the day of their death is coming, their attitude is not, let me apply my heart to wisdom, repent of my sins. But the attitude is, let's eat, let's drink, let's be merry, for tomorrow we die. Let's live it up, let's enjoy all that this world has to offer to us. Because eventually it's going to end and we won't have that opportunity. Their hearts are applied to folly. That can be the case even for us as children of God too. We don't always live in the awareness of life's brevity. It's not constantly on our mind. And we don't always have our hearts applied to wisdom's ways. Often our hearts too are applied to folly, to this world and the pleasures of this world. Can be the case for a child of God that his response to life's brevity is laziness. I'm going to die someday. Really doesn't matter. What's the use? Or his heart might be applied in the other direction and consider that he thinks himself so important and so essential that he overburdens himself and is overcommitted. Thinking that I've got to accomplish things, there's things I got to do and things I want to see and goals I've got to reach. And I got to do that before it's too late. We're not able to number our days, and in our own strength to apply our hearts to wisdom, and so we pray. We're entirely dependent upon God in prayer and His grace to supply. The thing about prayer is that it obviously doesn't change God's mind. God's eternal. God stands above and outside of time, and everything in time is under His sovereign direction and control. And everything in our lives is perfectly determined by Him. But when we pray, God is pleased to change us through our prayers, to change our priorities, our perspective on life, our thoughts, our desires, to refocus those things maybe from the things of this earth to the things of the kingdom of heaven. Things that are characterized by wisdom. That's a prayer that we need to make continually. It's a prayer that ought to be on our lips often, maybe even daily. God, teach me to number my days. God, teach my family, my children, my young people to number their days. And God, give us the grace to apply our hearts to wisdom. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, that is now our heartfelt petition to Thee. Teach us to number our days. Father, by the work of Thy Spirit and Thy grace in us, apply our hearts to wisdom. Turn us from our sins in genuine heartfelt repentance and direct us in the way of thankful obedience to Thee. Father, forgive us for the sake of Jesus Christ, Thy Son. Him alone is our life, and Him alone is all of our salvation. He is our all in all, and we're thankful to Thee for what Thou hast done for us in Christ. And we're thankful for the hope that we have, hope that goes beyond and through death into everlasting life with Thee. Strengthen that hope in us. Cause that hope to be the anchor of our soul in the midst of this life. In Jesus' name alone do we pray. Amen. Let's sing Psalter number 246. 246. Titled The Pilgrim's Prayer.